WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Elwin Lopez. Two major Supreme Court decisions. Justices rejected the Biden administration's student debt relief program that would have wiped out $400 billion in federal student loans. ABC's Terry Moran has more.
The Supreme Court strikes that down because it says that President Biden and his Secretary of Education exceeded the authority that the law passed by Congress gave them.
In a second case, justices ruled businesses can refuse some services to LGBTQ customers under free speech.
In a 6-3 opinion written by Justice Gorsuch, the U.S. Supreme Court sided with a business that designs wedding websites. Lori Smith believes marriage is reserved for unions between one man and one woman and said she worried the state of Colorado would force her to create websites for same-sex couples. The opinion said the government may not compel a person to speak its own preferred messages. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, New York.
This is ABC News. Getting away for the long 4th of July weekend?
On the roads, more than 43 million are expected to drive. That's up 2% from last year, up 4% from 2019. The best times to hit the road before 10 a.m. today or after 6 p.m. Tomorrow before noon, also looking pretty good. But the absolute worst time, we're told, is tomorrow after 1 p.m. So getting on the road early or late at night, that seems to be the best option.
ABC's Gio Benitez. A deadline for Hollywood actors and studios. Here's ABC's Jason Nathanson.
The Actors Union, SAG-AFTRA, has been negotiating with the Hollywood studios, represented by the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, for several weeks now over many of the same things at issue in the writer's strike. Higher base pay, residuals, a lack of clarity over the future use of AI. If a deal isn't reached by tonight, that doesn't mean a strike will automatically happen. The negotiation deadline could be extended. The Writers Guild has been on strike for almost 2 months. The last and only time both unions were on strike at the same time was 1960.
Owen Lopez, ABC News.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com. Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The air over Wisconsin is safer to breathe. A statewide air quality advisory that was in effect for days expired a few minutes ago. The Air Quality Index, or AQI, was 164 in southeast Wisconsin this morning. That's an improvement over this week's high of more than 250. There's a good chance of rain in the forecast, and that should make things better in southern and central Wisconsin. We'll hear more from Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot in just a few minutes. Experts blame climate change for the wildfires causing all this air pollution. Wisconsin farmers are helping protect some plant species from the impacts of climate change. They're doing it by restoring native prairies next to the food they grow. Deidre Birmingham owns the cider farm in Mount Horeb. She says a mix of prairie and different kinds of trees make her orchard relatively buffered from global warming.
We're a very diverse topography, and we have neighbors that are doing similarly on their land, and that's important to get these contiguous pieces of land.
The United Nations Environment Program says agriculture drives 70% of species lost. Farms like Birmingham's are trying to reverse the damage. More than 700,000 people in Wisconsin are back on the hook for their student loans after a U.S. Supreme Court ruling this morning. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The U.S. Supreme Court is striking down President Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. The court's conservative majority says the $400 billion plan amounts to unconstitutional overreach by the president. Biden's plan would have canceled up to $10,000 in federal student loan debt for people who earn less than $125,000 a year, or married couples who make less than $250,000. About 708,000 people in Wisconsin owe $22 billion on their federal student loans. Biden's initiative aimed to free up the spending power of the middle class. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Meanwhile, the people who run Wisconsin's colleges and universities are starting to process what another Supreme Court ruling means for them. As Mike Moan reports, the High Court struck down race as a factor in college admissions this week.
The National Urban League's Mark Morial says the decision reeks of politics under a court that includes a handful of justices appointed by former President Donald Trump.
From our perspective, this decision is a gutting and a weakening of years of progress towards racial justice in this nation via the very sacred 14th Amendment and its Equal Protection Clause.
Meanwhile, regional schools like the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee have issued statements saying they're discussing how the court's actions will affect their admissions programs. But UWM says it remains committed to diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. I'm Mike Moan.
The taxing and being planned for the next 2 years is now on Governor Evers' desk. Evers tells Channel 18 in Eau Claire he'll make as many partial vetoes as he can. The Assembly gave final legislative approval to the $99 billion state budget last night. Beforehand, Republican Speaker Robin Voss predicted Evers would veto less than he's indicated.
He might huff and puff and say what he's going to do, but in the end, he will look and say it's good for the middle class, it's good for every Wisconsinite, and that's why he signs it into law.
Democratic Minority Leader Greta Neubauer sounds more inclined to take the governor at his word.
The governor was elected by the people of Wisconsin to make difficult decisions in divided government, and we trust that he will use his power to do the right thing by the people of Wisconsin when it gets to his desk.
Evers objects to tax cuts for Wisconsin's highest earners and defunding University of Wisconsin diversity offices. That's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. Another high-speed chase rolls through the Fond du Lac area. According to WBAY News, deputies tried to pull over a 29-year-old Racine man for a registration violation last night. The driver sped off. The Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Office chased the man on Highway 41 through the city of Fond du Lac and even into a Walmart parking lot. The man eventually lost control of his car and drove into a ditch. After exiting and trying to run, he was hit by the car, which was rolling downhill. The man had arrest warrants from multiple counties. He refused medical treatment at the scene. A police officer was treated for minor injuries. Outagamie County employees will receive a pay increase next year. According to the Post-Crescent, the county dealt with record-high employee turnover last year due to uncompetitive wages. A compensation study revealed that 60% of jobs in the county pay less than competitive market salaries. At one point last year, the county had 198 open positions and lost an employee a day on average. If the 4th of July isn't a magical enough holiday, Civic Media's Brittany Merlot has some news that will enhance this year's experience even more.
And eyes are to the sky this weekend, and it's not just for the fireworks. A full moon hits the skies for 3 full days. The supermoon will show itself on July 3rd, but can be seen starting on Saturday and ending on Tuesday night. The moon will be at its closest approach to Earth. This upcoming supermoon is known as the Buck Moon or the Thunder Moon, which comes from the early summer season when buck deer push antlers out of their foreheads in coatings of fur and also when frequent thunderstorms take place.
Well, if you're patriotic and love music, then you'll love this. According to the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Civic Symphony of Green Bay will play at Austin Straubel Airport July 1st at 3 p.m. The show is family-friendly and will take place at Jet Air Group Hangar at 1921 Airport Drive. The concert is free, but donations will be accepted. An air quality advisory is still in effect till around noon, but we should get a break from the smoke as the day goes on. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. Sunshine and heat today. A west wind at 10 miles per hour will keep the day less humid, except in southern Wisconsin. It will feel sticky at times. Nearly 90s is expected for the southern half of the state, with more clouds too, and a chance for a few sprinkles later tonight. A tad bit cooler for the northern half of Wisco, with highs hitting the upper 70s to low 80s today. Tonight, a bit of rain will roll through the Madison area and into Milwaukee. Otherwise, a good chunk of the weekend wetness stays in Illinois. There is one more shot of storms lifting north along the southern state line Saturday, though. This will certainly bring cloudier conditions for the weekend for both Milwaukee and Madison, with some sprinkles lingering even into Sunday. So the Northwoods is the place to be this weekend, with sunshine in upper 80s all weekend long. Have a fantastic Friday and stay safe this weekend, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Brewers take the series in New York. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a come-from-behind win, 3-2 over the Mets. New York got up 2-0 with a pair of solo home runs, but Milwaukee's Adrian Houser, back in the starting rotation, settled in and got the win pitching six innings.
Felt good. Yeah, felt really good. Felt like, you know, still been putting in the work and, you know, ready for this moment. And, you know, just, you know, felt good to be able to go out there and help the boys put up a win.
Then in the sixth, Brewers catcher Victor Carantini at the plate with runners on base against the Mets' Matt Scherzer. Brian Anderson with a call on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
Carantini in the center field. That is way back there. Nimmo is on the run, and we are tied. Victor Carantini with a quick strike. 2-2 game on Caratini's fourth home run.
Mets pitcher Matt Scherzer.
Anytime we lose by one, you always look, you know, what could you have done to prevent, you know, one extra run from scoring? And you're always going to look at yourself and, you know, what you could have done. And, you know, it's unfortunate that homer really kind of flipped the game a little bit. I'm accountable for it. You know, try to come back next time and, you know, try pitch even better.
Manager Buck Showalter says he needs more help from the Mets hitters.
You know, we had a couple of solo home runs. That was it. We had some opportunities. I try to keep that in mind. The last 2 days we've had the bases loaded situation and we can't cash in even with less than two outs.
So the Mets slide continues. They lose 3 out of 4 at home to Milwaukee, 18 of their last 24. The Brewers in a tie for first place with the Reds. They open a 3-game weekend series tonight in Pittsburgh against the Pirates. By the way, the Brewers had a heck of a time getting to the ballpark. A presidential visit had traffic blocked up in New York for hours. Finally, most of the Brewers got off the team bus and rode the subway to Citi Field, saving themselves about a half hour in traffic. The NFL cracking down on players betting on the games. 3 players suspended for a year, now out indefinitely. The Colts immediately releasing 2 of them involved. A 4th player from the Titans will sit out 6 games for betting on other sports while in a team facility. No Packers involved. Matt LaFleur.
We haven't had any issues, so knock on wood, but it's not going to be the last that we talk about this.
Former Badgers and NFL defensive end J.J. Watt has a new TV job with CBS Sports.
I'm excited to join CBS. JB, Coach, Boomer, Phil, and Nate. Talk a little NFL this fall. Talk a little life.
Golf, day 2 of the U.S. Seniors Open at Century World in Stevens Point. Madison's Jerry Kelly playing despite an injured left wrist.
The wrist. Did it happen yesterday and how did it affect?
No, it's been going on. It's been going out of joint for about a couple months. And it just inflamed so bad the last week or so. Been having it worked on constantly, and that's aggravating it more. So it's inflamed. I started warming up. I felt it right away, so I had to at least numb it and just kind of swing through it.
That's Jerry Kelly with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time, as in spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to 3 different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
All in 2 weeks, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino. Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crew. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show. On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds, 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 64 tonight. 83 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Upper 70s. Sunday turning warmer on Monday with highs in the mid 80s. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 86 this afternoon. We should dip down to around 64 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 86.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you would like to participate in today's forum, give us a call or shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host, Luke Mathers. Luke, what up?
How we doing, Will? It's Friday. It's your favorite Wednesday of the week.
It is my absolute favorite Wednesday of the week.
Yeah, and it's the end of June. We're here, the final day of the month. We got some doing a holiday weekend, extended holiday weekend after today. And so, folks, if you want to join us here on Town Call before you head out on the road for wherever you're celebrating this weekend or between now and the 4th coming up next Tuesday, give us a call. Share your thoughts with us, 844-967-2789.
And or if you're a justice of the Supreme Court, you know, and you have a big holiday vacation that you got to get to now that you're done destroying the livelihood of millions of American citizens, please do so as well. Luke, that is the topic of the day. Of course, ruling dropped from the Supreme Court this morning.
Several rulings, not just one. True,
several rulings, but the big ruling, let's say, the one that's going to be receiving significant coverage over the next couple of weeks, months, and potentially years, and might have significant 2024 ramifications. The Supreme Court blocks Biden's student loan forgiveness program. My question to you, the people of Wisconsin, is the Supreme Court working? Are they doing their job? Is this judicial activism? Where do we draw the line? What is and is not acceptable from the arbiter of justice at the federal level? In a stinging defeat this morning for President Joe Biden's agenda, the Supreme Court blocked the administration's student loan forgiveness plan, rejecting a program aimed at delivering up to $20,000 of relief to millions of borrowers struggling with outstanding debt, in a 6-3 decision with Chief Justice John Roberts writing the conservative majority and Justices Kagan, Sotomayor, and Jackson dissenting. Luke, we're young. I know a lot of young people who this is going young-ish. If you listened to the show the other day, Luke had to correct me on that. But I know a lot of people that this is going to impact directly. I know a lot of budgets that are going to really struggle to find an additional $300, $400, $500, $600 to put towards their student loan debt. How is this going to impact your day-to-day life, people of Wisconsin? Give us a call, 844-967-2789.
Yeah, it's gonna be very telling what the economic impact of these payments not being canceled, these loans not being canceled, is going to be tremendous. It's in the trillions of dollars. There's, I believe, roughly 700,000 student loan borrowers here in the state of Wisconsin that will be affected by today's decision from the Supreme Court. And I think as your question points out, is the Supreme Court working? I think it's entirely upon who you ask. I think it's entirely dependent on who you're asking, what kind of answer you're going to get for that. Because for people that want to say that they're constitutional originalists, that they like to see just an arbiter on the U.S. Supreme Court, just calling balls and strikes, saying this is not legal. The Biden administration use the emergency declaration of the COVID-19 pandemic through the authorization of Congress in 2003 with the HEROES Act to use as the basis for the canceling of roughly about $400 billion of student loan debt. That was what was at question in this Supreme Court case. And essentially the justices, the 6-3 majority, the conservative majority on the Supreme Court said, well, it's too significant. That's too high of a price tag. That's not reading and calling balls and strikes of whether or not an administration can or cannot do something. That is taking an opinion and using whatever scales of metric that the U.S. Supreme Court justices used in this determination. They use the term too significant. Like, that's not judicial originalism.
It sounds like judicial activism to me, Luke.
Yeah, and so for that to be the basis of this Supreme Court case and how it was decided, I think if you're a politico and you all you care about is the politics of your side winning or losing, it solely determines your political views of whether or not the Supreme Court's working then, and that's not what our arbiter, our nation's highest court should be doing. It shouldn't be a cheerleader for one political party or another and look to hand wins and losses that way. But unfortunately, it feels, Will, like today in this case of the Supreme Court just saying, yeah, the Heroes Act authorization from 2003, it's there. It says that the U.S. Department of Education can authorize and change and modify changes to loans that the federal government provides. That's what was at question here. And then the 6-3 majority come in and say, but that's too significant. Maybe if it was a lower price, at what threshold then would it be acceptable to do it? Yeah. Where was that line drawn? Because it seems very, very arbitrary at that point. And that's not a reading of the law. That's imposing your political views on what would or would not be too significant of relief to student loan borrowers across the nation.
Mm-hmm. And the court did go on to, they held that the administration needed congressional endorsement before undertaking so costly a program. As you just noted, it's not the balls and the strikes.
So if it was only $100 billion, maybe. No, because, again, that's just the justification used to then come to this conclusion. Because that's truly what this decision feels like. There was very little grounds of standing for this court case to be brought before the U.S. Supreme Court in the first place. That's what legal experts have said. That it is a set of states, 6 states, I believe, Will, that sued on behalf of, like, loan provider organizations. Like, it wasn't even the states that were being harmed. They were these third-party entities that Nebraska and Missouri were trying to represent before this lawsuit, saying, hey, we're going to see some harm. We think that we might potentially be harmed. And if there was a environmental organization that tried to bring some kind of lawsuit with similar legal standing for a court case against a corporation that was polluting, they would be laughed out of the courtroom for having this little standing. And it makes its way all the way to the Supreme Court, and then you see a 6-3 party line decision like this.
And we were talking about that before the show, Luke. I think that is the best conversation piece you can have with, you know, a regular citizen when you're discussing the implications long term of this is, if you're going to allow court cases to be brought up by third parties and individuals that aren't involved, and you're allowed to sue the federal government because something, a law is passed that, you know, hurts your business or whatever, like they did in this situation, where are we going to draw that line? Can alcohol producers sue the government because the 21 plus drinking age is cutting out 3 years worth of profits for 18-year-olds? Can gun manufacturers sue the government because gun control measures are hurting their bottom line? Oil and gas companies suing because environmental regulations hurt their bottom line? Well, you noted that it depends on what side of the economic aisle you live on, in the sense that if the 6 of the justices are going to side with the major corporations, then sure, they're more than welcome to bring it up. But anything that benefits the individual, then you won't be as lucky, particularly in this situation. I want to note as well, Luke, that Justice Kagan, writing in dissent, joined by the court's two other liberals, noted that the majority of the court in this situation, quote, overrides the combined judgment of the legislative and executive branches with the consequences of eliminating loan forgiveness for 43 million Americans. Because, as you noted, the HEROES Act was passed in 2003 with bipartisan support and signed by George W. Bush, the current president at the time. John Roberts, perhaps anticipating negative public reaction and aware of declining approval, added an unusual coda to his opinion, cautioning that the liberals' dissent should not be mistaken for disparagement of the quote of the court itself, saying, quote, it is important that the public not be misled either. Any such misperception would be harmful to this institution and our country, unquote.
An interesting little side note there by Chief Justice Roberts. Folks, yeah. You're listening to Town Call, 844-967-2789. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We want to hear your thoughts. Is the Supreme Court, the U.S. Supreme Court, working? Want to know your thoughts. 844-967-2789. Up first this Friday afternoon, we got Jeannie calling in from Eau Claire. Jeannie, what are your thoughts on the Supreme Court?
Coming out of my ears up here, away from my side of the state. I'm 68, and god darn it, I am mad as H-E-double-L at what this court is doing to the people of our country, and especially the people younger than myself. This is ludicrous. We can give tax breaks to the wealthiest. I use cuss words, but I can't. Son of a guns in our country that are putting their funds right back into these yahoos, Federal Society, Koch brothers, ALEC, against the people in our country when we need to support young people and people who are going to school to better their lives. This is nuts. I never paid the outrageous sums that young people have had to pay. And you could refinance your loans. I mean, they got people under a big ruler stick that are keeping them down. And this is nuts. And everybody in our country should be outraged. And if they're sitting there saying, oh, I paid off my student debt, why shouldn't everybody else? Everybody don't live under the same circumstances. People don't have the same abilities. People don't have the same support systems. And this is nuts. When you try to do things for our country and better yourselves and move up and just try to live and learn. I mean, I am so thankful for you guys. I just can't tell you. And god dang it, this is ridiculous, and those people should all be kicked off that court because they lied and they're getting paybacks, and it is horrifying. So anyway, guys, thank you for what I feel so bad. This is nuts, and I feel so bad for young people, and us old people better get out there and open our mouths and stick up for you young people. Thank you so much for taking my call. You guys hang in there, and I hope you have a good weekend. This is a horrible thing for our country. Bye.
Oh, you as well, Jeannie. Thank you so much for the call, and us young people appreciate that. From one young person to another, Luke, I would love to have some of the older generation. And there's a lot of people out there that are doing the great work and are fighting the good fight. But something that Jeannie noted as well is, you know, how we're more than willing to help out the ultra rich. Republican-led states argued before the court that the plan would have amounted to a, quote, windfall, unquote, for 20 million people who would have seen their entire student debt disappear and been better off than they were before the pandemic. A windfall for 20 million people? Compared to a massive tax break that's going to benefit, you know, 1,000 ultra-rich people? Come on. Come on. This is disastrous. It's grotesque. We're talking Supreme Court. Is it working for you? We're going to be right back after the break. Give us a call if you're interested in participating. 844-967-2789. This is Town Call.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Don McCrude.
6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show
on WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Melwin Lopez. President Biden is expected to respond later to this morning's 6-3 Supreme Court ruling that says the Biden administration overstepped its authority to cancel or reduce federal student loans. ABC's Alexis Christophorus.
The big takeaway for people who hold federal student loan debt is
get ready to start repaying because there really is no plan B. People shouldn't be counting on student loan forgiveness from the Biden administration anytime soon. It doesn't appear that the administration has any plan for across-the-board student loan forgiveness.
The justices also ruled businesses can refuse services to some customers based on free speech. The case involved a Christian website designer who did not want to create marriage websites for same-sex couples. Congressman George Santos appeared briefly in federal court on Long Island on Friday for a basic status conference on his criminal case. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Pete Schwabe. Here's what you need to know in Northeast Wisconsin. A man led police on two separate car chases in Fond du Lac, totaling over 20 miles. According to the Fond du Lac County Sheriff's Department, the 22-year-old man is from the Appleton area and had two outstanding warrants. He was also driving a stolen car. Authorities tried to pull the man over around 2:30 on Wednesday morning after realizing he was driving without lights. The chase ended when the man turned onto a dead-end road and crashed the car. Police say they found a firearm that he tossed from the car at some point during the chase. The man was booked into the Fond du Lac County Jail on multiple charges. Well, if you're patriotic and love music, then you'll love this. According to the Green Bay Press Gazette, the Civic Symphony of Green Bay will play at Austin Straubel Airport July 1st at 3 p.m. The show is family-friendly and will take place at Jet Air Group Hangar at 1921 Airport Drive. The concert is free, but donations will be accepted. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO.
That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour.
This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO.
608-949-8989.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup.
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crude. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in the forum today, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We are talking Supreme Court. Do you think the Supreme Court is working? Are they doing their job, or is this judicial activism? We're going to go back to the phone lines. We got Terry from Fond du Lac on the line. Terry, what are your thoughts on the recent Supreme Court decisions?
Yeah, well, my wife, she had to go back to school for a nursing job, so obviously we got a bunch of debt, you know, schooling debt and all, which sucked. It would have been great. Do I feel like it would be right to put that expense on the American taxpayer? No. The idea should have never been brought up. That's the whole problem we have here. Where do you stop? I mean, we all have debt. You can't put it on the American taxpayer to split the bill. We all make choices in our lives. You know, where would you stop? You know, I mean, the whole idea should have never been brought up by the president, my take on it. That's the same as the child care. The money was handed out for child care. When you hand people money, it's to be expected. And when you take the money away, that's where the problem lies. Would it be a great idea? Yes, we do need money for child care. We need a program figured out. Same as with college. College tuition is ridiculously expensive. But the white, I mean, where do you stop then? Know what I mean?
Well, that's a fair point, Terry. Would you agree with PPP loans then? That PPP loans should not have been forgiven?
That's a hard line there.
Right, exactly. Businesses got their loans forgiven, and the American people are not. That's kind of my approach to this.
And I think it's important to point out, Terry, from what you're stating, that was the American taxpayer that was forgiving those PPP loans. That wasn't just a loan to businesses any other. It's the same exact thing that would be for the student loans. It was the same exact thing for investments into child care programs.
I agree 100%. You go online and you look at all the businesses that receive money. I mean, it's ridiculous. You would just shake your head. It's like, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you were, on that point, it was. And yes, you know, where do you stop? That's just my point of view. Yes, student loans are ridiculously expensive, but should it be put on the taxpayer to pay for it because that was your decision? That's where I kind of draw the line. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you made a good point, Terry, that we're being reactive rather than proactive. Realistically, if we wanted to fix a lot of these situations, we would hit at the heart of the problem, which is that college is just too expensive. That's a lot easier said than done. And in this situation, I'm big on the hypocrisy aspect of it. Luke noted during the break, a representative from South Carolina who was tweeting about canceling student debt is gross. People took out all these loans. And then
There's Republican congressmen and there's a lot of Republican elected officials that are applauding the Supreme Court's decision today. And there are organizations that are going and essentially showing the receipts saying you're applauding the Supreme Court striking this down from today's ruling, but you yourself received X number of forgiven loans through the Paycheck Protection Program. And a lot of these aren't even anywhere close to the size of what a student loan would be. These are in the hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars for the relief that regular student loan borrowers would have received, $10,000 max. If they had a Pell Grant, they would get up to $20,000. So the much larger scale the PPP was as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, my wife, she had to go back. She's a nurse. She had to go back. She was forced to go back and get a bachelor's degree or else she'd have to switch careers. She was forced to go back to college. And I think it was upwards of $40,000 or $50,000 to get this degree to do the same job she was doing for 15 years. I mean, it's absurd. You know, it's just so much that the whole college system, it needs to be something needs to be redone. It's just, it shouldn't cost $40,000-$50,000 to get a bachelor's degree to maintain your job as a nurse. You know what I mean? It's ridiculous.
Would you support government programs? Quick question for you, Terry. Would you support government programs that went into paying for the retraining costs for individuals? So say if it was more targeted and forgiving those loans on a targeted basis of if you're a nurse or a teacher or there are other ways that we can have public tax dollars address some of these problems, but it's going to come down to there needs to be some public money behind it because these organizations, these institutions, these corporations aren't going to cut costs. It doesn't feel like that. If we're waiting for that to happen, we're going to be waiting for a really long time, Terry.
Oh, absolutely. The whole system needs to be, I don't know why the cost is the way it is for everything. I mean, why in the world would you even want to go to college anymore as a young kid coming out of high school? Even if you did have good degrees, you probably would. I mean, why would you want to have a debt for that many years? You know, I don't know. It's the whole system is And you can blame it on both sides, you know, it's all, but to throw money at the problem, yeah, it would help, but it's not going to solve any problems. You know what I mean?
Remember too, Terry, you know, that
solve the problem.
Well, I think the loan forgiveness would solve a lot of problems for millions of Americans because they would be able to contribute to society and the economy at large if not having to pay $200, $300, $400 a month in these student loan repayments.
You forget that's only up to $20,000 at the max. Most people would get $10,000, which on most student loans, $10,000 doesn't, like my wife, I think it's close to, I don't even want to look at it. It kind of makes me sick to my stomach, but I know it was over 40, I think, at one time, 40 or close to 50 or something.
Well,
that's 20 to 25%.
Yeah.
Can you imagine how 40 school? You know, I mean, the money, yeah, it's nice, $10,000, $20,000, but some of these student loans, well, you guys probably know firsthand. I mean, I'm a bit older, I'm sure, than you guys. You guys would know. And that probably doesn't even, it would help, absolutely, but to what point, you know? I guess every little bit would help, but.
I do know people, Terry, that are hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. But to touch on something you said earlier that I think is really noteworthy as well, remember that a lot of young people, at least this was my experience growing up, is we were always told if you want to get a good job, you have to get an education, you have to go to college, right? It was hammered into our minds. Everything you are doing from kindergarten on is to build your transcript, to build your resume, to build your ability to get into the best school possible so that you can go to a great college and get a great education. And, you know, you're still a child. You're still a developing brain. You're going to trust the powers that be, whether that's your parents, your teachers, the community at large. And they're all telling you, you have to go to college. It's not surprising that so many kids have, you know, assumed that that is the only route to take and have gone that route. Well, this is how much college costs, right? You are putting yourself into this massive debt. It's in a lot of ways indentured servitude. You now don't have the freedom to pursue whatever career or passions you might have because you have that massive $200, $300, $400, $500, $600 a month student loan payment sitting on your budget. It's a black hole eating into your discretionary funding month after month after month. Think about the economic ramifications now of millions of young people that had a spare couple hundred dollars to go spend that all of a sudden will not anymore. I mean, we're potentially creating a bubble with the 2024 election coming up. If we face economic collapse prior to then or some kind of massive recession, this is going to be incredibly harmful to millions of Americans.
If I can also add something to that, as somebody who is a recent college student, that absolutely is the case, that it was hammered into my mind from a very young age. Like, you got to go to college if you want to have a decent job. Like, hey, yeah, we'll present the other options. You could go to a trade school. You could do a youth apprenticeship. You could do those. And that's great. That's just good for some people. Anyway, let's spend the next 3 hours talking about why college is better. And then after high school, I did go to college, but then the timing was horrible. I was pursuing a music degree during the pandemic, so I dropped out. So now I have probably close to $100,000 in student debt and no degree. And what am I going to do? I don't know. I just accepted the fact that I will have debt for the foreseeable future. And I know that's just how life is. And that's too bad.
Well, and that, Aaron, Aaron, you're not an outlier in that.
Oh, no, I'm not an outlier.
There's millions of I want to say roughly about half of student loan debt is taken on by individuals that never finished their degree. So they have all of the risk they took to try to go get a degree, and none of the payoffs of that degree assisting them in repaying those loans. Because again, society for a really long time said, yes, as Will and Aaron have pointed out too, the way to be successful is to go to college. And now there's plenty of people that are like, oh, well, if you, you know, didn't want all this debt, you shouldn't have went and got a 4-year art degree or 4-year degree in this or that. And they belittle specific degrees in the humanities or other aspects of college as if they weren't the ones that said to their own children or their own nieces and nephews and family members that, oh, no, the only way to be successful is to go to college. And then allowing a system, because the other aspect of this that we haven't even touched on yet is the predatory loan aspect of things. You've got some of the highest interest rates that can't be refinanced, that stay with you through bankruptcy. These student loans are carte blanche to be able to take advantage of those individuals from 18 and on for taking on and trying to better themselves. And this system is $1 trillion debt that is pressing down on Gen Z and millennials and Gen X. There's plenty of Gen Xers out there that still have student loan debt. And to act like the only reason that this got struck down today by the Supreme Court in a 6-3 decision is because the impact was too significant. Not that it wasn't authorized by Congress. It was through the HEROES Act. Not that it wasn't legally sound through the Biden executive order. It's that the impact was too significant.
Well, and Luke, you just touched on, we got a text message noting that you can't compare PPP loans to student debt relief because PPP loans were designed to be a giveaway to the wealthy from the start, while student loans were designed to force people to work. Luke, you just hammered that point home. When you are putting someone at 18 years old into massive debt to get the education that society demands them to have if they want to be successful, they now have to have a job that pays off this student debt month after month after month, no matter how miserable they are, no matter how unfulfilled they are, no matter what they're accomplishing, no matter what their dreams or passions are. It doesn't matter. For a country that prides itself on individualism and freedom of opportunity and freedom of movement, you don't have this opportunity and movement when you aren't able to go and pursue your dreams. You are stuck doing what you have to do to pay off this monthly debt that you are in because society said you had to do it. And a lot of people will say, well, then go back and get more education so that you have the freedom. Okay, so then you're in even more debt. Like it's cyclical. They're trapping you mm-hmm. in this cycle, and the opportunity for advancement is just not there unless you were born into the right situation, unless you get incredibly lucky. This is what we mean when we're talking about like some of the systemic injustices of modern America. You know, do you think the billionaires' children have student loan debt? No, of course they don't. And that's why a lot of these ultra wealthy individuals who are sitting there saying things like, I paid off my debt, that's not the point of society. Just because you suffer doesn't mean other people should suffer. And I hate that analogy more than anything.
And there, it's important to point out as well that there was a threshold. This wasn't just everybody. You got $10,000 in student loan payments forgiveness. It's I want to say $120,000?
I believe $125,000, yeah.
And then, so underneath that threshold. And so then they're saying, oh, well, people making six figures are getting their loans forgiven. Are also the same people, Will, I think it's convenient to point out, that they're saying when individuals weren't going to get a tax cut making $400,000, that was just upper middle class. You got to be able to provide more tax relief for those individuals making $300,000-$400,000, because come on, they're not that well off. It's an interesting dynamic about who benefits from the system, and I think the Roberts Court today showed that it's just going to decide what it wants to do. It's going to determine for itself. We want to hear your thoughts on the Supreme Court. We're also going to jump into most Wisconsin headlines of the week. You're listening to Town Call, 844-967-2789. Give us a call or text. We're going to be right back.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, BOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's BOGO. 608-949-8989.
Hey, this is Petty Pincher Bob, and I love a good rummage sale. If you love them too, you can list your Saturday rummage sale right here on this radio station. Your 15-second Saturday rummage sale ad runs Friday all day and Saturday morning for only $50 per week. If you would like to list your Saturday rummage sale, call us now, 715-629-9501. The deadline for each week is Wednesday at noon. Operators are standing by now. Please have a valid credit card ready to go. See ya!
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. Woo-hoo!
Starting at 6 a.m., The Mayor and Mino.
Then at 8, The Earl Ingram Show.
10 to 12,
As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Civic Media Network News. At 12:15, Town Call. 1 to 3, The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn Direct. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Dom and Crute. And 6 to 7, The Maggie Dawn Show.
On 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW.
Here's your updated forecast. A blend of clouds and sun this afternoon with highs around 86. Westerly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 64 tonight. 83 tomorrow. A mix of clouds and sun. Upper 70s Sunday, turning warmer on Monday with highs in the mid 80s. Another look at the short range. Highs reach 86 this afternoon. We should dip down to around 64 tonight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 85.
This summer, 1590 AM and 97.9 WGBW has a new starting lineup. 10 to 12, As Goes Wisconsin. At noon, Town Call. On WGBW.
Hallelujah, it's Friday, 'cause I've been working all week.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. We're talking Supreme Court. Do you think they are working? Are they doing their job? Or is this judicial activism? We're going to go back to the phone lines. We got CJ on the line. CJ, what are your thoughts on the Supreme Court's recent decisions?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I was just having a conversation with my friend, Brady Tidy White, friend down in Florida, and he said he knew Biden was going to lose in the Supreme Court because he just wanted the votes. And I said, well, every negative decision that the Supreme Court's made that's affecting all of us, next they're going for the LGBTQ community, is giving him the votes. It's not that he needed the votes. It's the Supreme Court is actually handing him the votes, whether he wanted them or not. And It would have been a good thing for the taxpayers, but the taxpayers shouldn't be footing the bill. It's the GOP tax decreases for the rich, the one percenters, that has severely affected our ability to pay these debts. So if we went from 3% to 33%, maybe that could actually make some good in the world. But just the fact that the Supreme Court, with all these decisions that they're making that negatively affect all of us, it's going to make them wonder what happened in 2024. So have a great day.
Thanks, CJ. Yeah, that's a really good point. We're seeing that right now, right? With, as we discussed earlier in the week, the Wisconsin budget, the massive tax breaks that we're seeing going disproportionately to the highest income earners in the state. And I think, CJ, you made another interesting point about, gathering votes. We saw post Roe v. Wade decision, the massive voter turnout that came through both in November as well as this year's spring general. The Supreme Court is clearly energizing a number of individuals, particularly young people, that are saying, I have had enough. Got a text message coming in from Madison. I'm a 60-year-old man. When I was growing up, my parents were blue-collar workers, like many blue-collar workers, losing their jobs in the late 70s and 80s due to jobs moving overseas. Many kids didn't want to follow in their parents' footsteps and opted to go to college to have a much better life with more job opportunities. Excellent point. Again, society and our communities kind of like shepherding us into this as the only option you can have for advancement. However, the trade-off is, you're inherently in tons and tons and tons of debt. Well, that's just the decision you have to make. I don't know. I don't think that's healthy, Luke.
Yeah, I don't think it's healthy at all. And there are plenty of options out there. I've got cousins who made the decision not to go to college, even though the relatively larger family, the underlying premise was, if you want to be successful, you need to go to college and get a job. And I've got cousins who went into the trades, and one of them's a barber, and he's making great money as a barber. And the ones that are in the trades are doing well for themselves. And there's other opportunities and avenues to success It doesn't all have to be to college, but there is absolutely an underlying vibe that society for a very long time said this is the way to do it. If you want to be successful, you go to school. And and that is absolutely part of the dynamic, I think. But there's, again, there's a lot of underlying factors there. That the cost of college is skyrocketing. The fact that there are very predatory loans providers out there. Like, it is not a healthy environment right now for being able to go and get an education like that. And I think one of the things that CJ
being a young person is dangerous, Luke.
Yeah, it's an interesting dynamic. One of the interesting things that CJ pointed out, I don't know if the politics is going to be... I don't think we can tell the political fallout of what this is going to be yet. It's going to be something interesting to keep an eye on. But I'm fairly certain that the individuals that are applauding this decision today aren't going to be thinking about it a whole lot come November of next year. The people that are going to all of a sudden have to make real life-altering decisions of okay, I can't go and start this business now because I need to stay in my current job so that I can afford the student loan payments that are going to resume again for me, or that they have to cut costs here and there and budget around this now that this forgiveness is not going to be provided by the federal government. Those individuals are going to remember, and it will be interesting to see if they are going to just blame the Biden administration because it didn't follow through on its promises to forgive student debt. Are they going to blame the Supreme Court? It will be interesting to keep an eye on where the political fallout is surrounding this, but I think it's probably too early to tell. We're just going to get a lot of outrage on both sides. Well, applause on one side and outrage on the other today. But where it goes from here is something we'll have to keep an eye on, Will.
Oh, and you know, too, Luke, we've focused on student debt relief for this show, but realistically, we could make the joke that it was Chief Justice John Roberts and the terrible, horrible, no good, very bad couple of days, because it has been a number of decisions over the past few days, as we touched on yesterday, and something that I kind of want to get back to because I found a very interesting tweet when we were talking about the affirmative action decision that the Supreme Court made. Chief Justice Roberts, in a footnote yesterday, noted that military academies were exempted from the ruling in light of the, quote, potentially distinct interests, unquote, they present. There had been discussion of whether the military needed to maintain affirmative action in training its future officer corps based on a judgment that it would be bad for military discipline and cohesiveness if leadership did not reflect the diversity of the rank and file troops who did the bulk of fighting and dying in wars. Much like the addition he added that we noted earlier, that the liberal justices are not criticizing the court, right? John Roberts is saying the quiet part out loud. He is publicly noting, oh, we are going against what is in the better interest of all of society when we can pick and choose situations that it applies to. I don't understand why military academies would be different from regular institutions of higher learning where the same thing applies. Should we not have a student body that reflects the diversity of our communities? Evidently, military academies should, because he doesn't want a bunch of, you know, white people telling the bulk of the troops fighting and dying in wars that, you know, fair representation should apply to the military, then why does it not apply to all of society? I just don't get it. Justice Jackson had a number of incredibly relevant quotes.
Well, and the interesting aspect, too, there was a footnote in the independent state legislature theory that would revive Bush v. Gore for the ability for the U.S. Supreme Court to step in election disputes within a state there. And today, in the 303 creative case, the Supreme Court ruled that it's okay to discriminate based on your religious views against LGBTQ individuals. And so, and that one, again, questionable foot to stand on, because the whole harm that was produced in that lawsuit was all hypothetical. It was all made up. There was no actual harm against the individual suing.
Sounds like we'll have to touch on that on Monday, Luke.
So much to talk about here on Town Call. We really appreciate all of our callers today and all week. Have a terrific weekend. We will be back on Monday at 12:15. Talk to y'all
then.
Have
a great weekend, party people.
Imagine it's the last ride, but your symptoms of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, are taking you for a ride.
What should you do? Keep managing your constipation with belly pain the same old way? Or try getting ahead of your symptoms by talking to your doctor about treating it with Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine what could relief from IBS-C mean for you. Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay.
WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CV Green Bay.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.